We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hour number two, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. Our buddy Greg Dickerson is in the house with us as well. As we mentioned before the top of the hour, Bruins had a wildly entertaining game last night in San Jose against the Sharks. So they go out to a 3-0 lead in the first, and you're thinking all is right
with
the world.
Yep.
They give up a goal with 2.7 seconds left at the end of the first period, and you give San Jose a little life. Joe Thornton scores. You give San Jose a little life. Second period, the Sharks outscore the Bruins 3-1. Again, score late in the period. And now you got a 4-4 game going into the third. The Sharks go ahead. The Bruins tie it on an illegal goal. It just was. No. I mean, it should not have been allowed.
What was goal and what wasn't a goal last night?
It was a little hard to figure out. And then ultimately they win in overtime on Charlie McAvoy's second straight game winner out in California, and they win 6-5. The officiating in last night's Bruins game might be as bad as I've seen all season long.
Yeah, I mean, it just the goal. You got to get the goals right.
It was NFL. It was like NFL like last
night.
How do you miss that on replay?
Yeah,
I'm talking about the first goal that which they disallowed, the Wagner goal.
Yeah,
how do you disallow that?
I will tell you that we get an email from the National Hockey League, and we got one saying that the call on the ice was no goal. And by the way, real time, I'm not saying anything about the
real
official.
Time. That's tough.
It was you know, one of those tough calls. Yeah. He calls no goal on the ice. If the NHL in their little release that they sent out to us had said, we could not find any conclusive evidence, so the call stands. What they said was, our review confirmed the call from the official on the ice.
It did not do that.
Now,
just look at one GIF online. You could see it easily.
Now, we had this battle, for lack of a better term. Jaffe and I had this battle, not only in the green room as we were watching the game, but on set at the end of the first intermission, because, like you said, Greg, you've got replay for a reason.
Right.
You can't
stop the
get
game
that
and
wrong.
Slow it down. You got to get
you
it
You can't
right.
get it wrong. And now the NHL, believe it or not, later on in the evening, and Billy was going back and forth with league officials, they still stood by their call. They still said
they have a different
there
angle.
Was not conclusive evidence that the puck was completely across the line. I disagree.
Does the NHL do what the NBA does? Do they ever come out the next day and say, the NBA's two-minute report. Does the NHL do something like
that? I wish they did, but they don't. Although, I shouldn't say I wish they did. I don't think you gain anything by the NBA's doing it either.
Right.
All it does is piss people off, right? But no, they don't. They don't come out and say, hey, we screwed this one up. They probably do to the teams. They probably make a phone call to Pete DeBoer out in San Jose and say, hey, Pete, you know, we really screwed that one up. Because then, now that was Chris Wagner who should have scored the goal that the NHL said wasn't a goal. So what they do is they make up for it. They allow Chris Wagner to score the game tying goal late in the third period on a completely blatantly illegal play.
I guess it all balances out.
He plays the puck, forget about the stick at shoulder level. It was above his head.
I was going to say.
He knocks it down. Now, if he had knocked it directly into the net, they can review that. They would have reviewed it. They would have disallowed the goal. Because he knocked it down on the ice and then pushed it into the net and the officials on the ice blew the call, they can't review it.
Why?
It's not a review.
No, why?
No,
we're not going to tell you why. There's no why. That's just how they do it.
It's not a reviewable play. So, you know, it's like Sheed used to say, ball don't lie, well, puck
don't lie.
They should have given him the goal in the first.
Yeah.
So we're going to let him score this illegal goal in the third. And you know, San Jose, understandably, a little pissed off. Joe Thornton scores 3 against his former team. He had not had a hat trick in, 9 years.
I was going to say, he's not much of a goal scorer.
Well, he just won't. He scored over 400 goals in his career. He just won't shoot.
But he's played a lot. Yeah, he just passes like crazy. But
Luckily for all of us, he didn't score a fourth one.
No.
Because he had gone through this whole thing several years ago about how if he ever scored a fourth goal, he was going to celebrate by
taking
something out and
yeah.
skating around the ice with it exposed for the world.
And not a sock. Not a sock, Greg.
Hope it's not Ben.
It could be. Okay. I got a guy for him.
Really? You're going there?
I got a guy.
Thank you very much.
It's an easy call to make. But the Bruins, don't look now, Dale. They're on one hell of a run here.
Six straight wins, three straight in California on the road trip. They go to Vegas tomorrow night, wrap up the trip Saturday afternoon in St. Louis.
A California road trip, not what it used to be. The L.A., Anaheim suck.
They stink.
San Jose, the best team.
The Bruins go to Anaheim and win. The Caps go to Anaheim and lose the other night.
Doesn't make a lot of sense. The old duck pond isn't really...
not what it used to be. Not what it was in the late 90s.
No, there's not the same. Not the same.
Trade deadline is Monday. And
what are they going to do?
Everything that you read around the entire NHL media sphere is that the Bruins are in hard on a lot of things. That Don Sweeney is determined... Now, the question then becomes, do you rent a player, knowing that you may lose him at the end of the season? Artemi Panarin, Exhibit A.
Mm-hmm.
Do you give up real assets, bring Panarin in for the rest of the regular season, and then he's already said, I'm going to free agency in the offseason.
I feel like most of the guys, or at least most of the names that I have heard, are all rentals. Stone, Simmons, Panarin, who is the other guy? There's another guy. All of them, they're up at the end of this year. So unless there's somebody that... hasn't really been made known yet that you have under contract, that's probably going to be what they have to do. And it's just how many picks, how many young players do you agree to throw into those deals? Because wouldn't it be,
now they
especially
did that
the
last
run that
year.
They're on, wouldn't it be disappointing if they didn't do anything?
Well, it depends.
You cannot sit out the trade deadline on Monday.
You got to do something.
Is this, how do I put this? Is this a real run?
It's a good question.
Because they've gone like 20 games. Now they've won six in a row, but you go back through their last 10 games. They're 8-0-2. You go back through their last 20 games. They've lost like three.
Then it's a no brainer. If the Bruins didn't make a move, if they didn't rent a player, if any other team in town didn't make a move. If the Red Sox
lose
the same
minds.
Situation,
you'd lose your
Celtics,
mind.
Patriots, people would lose their
but
mind.
But is Tampa Bay too good? Because the Eastern Conference is Tampa Bay and everybody else, right? Like the Bruins, even without making a move, are in that everybody else.
So then why play the games? I mean, if you're just going to sit there and say,
my question is, no
chance of beating Tampa.
So Greg, if Tampa Bay is Golden State,
yep.
If they're Golden State, and let's say, so put yourself in the Western Conference now, for example, and if you are Portland or Oklahoma City, you have a really good team, would you trade all of your draft picks and your young guys for a rental?
It's different, though. I know it is different. What I'm saying is it's different. In the NBA, one always beats eight. One almost always
True.
Beats four.
More of a crapshoot here.
Right. In the NHL, that's not the case.
Yeah. And so Tampa is good, but you're right there with everybody else. And if you need to make a move just in order to – maybe beat Toronto in the first round or right. I mean, that's kind of the swing here. The way the seeding is in the NHL playoffs, the Bruins could just as easily lose in the first round as lose in the conference championship game or whatever it is.
How many people realize that after last night's game in the entire NHL, forget the Atlantic Division, forget the Eastern Conference, the Bruins are tied with the San Jose Sharks for the third best record in the league. They're 1 point behind Calgary for the second best record in the league. Now, Tampa Bay, as you correctly point out, is out here somewhere.
Yeah, they're
going to have to stumble. But the fact of the matter is, the Bruins are 1 point out of second overall in the entire NHL after last night.
Right. And then,
which, going to your point, Greg, you have to do something. Yes. You cannot sit this out, and I don't think Don Sweeney is of a mind to sit it out anyway. Now, think what they did last year. They gave up their first-round pick to bring Rick Nash in, to rent Rick Nash.
Which didn't work, but I liked
it
at the time.
I was all for it.
I liked it.
I didn't. I thought it was a good move. I didn't mind giving up the first-round pick. Rick Nash was one of the premier guys dealt at the trade deadline. Now, you can't predict he's going to get a concussion and basically end not only his season but his career. You can't predict that. Now, the question is, do you give up your first-round pick 2 years in a row? Do you sit out the first round in consecutive years in the NHL?
Hmm.
I think Don Sweeney would prefer to give up young assets.
Danton Heinen.
By the way, who's
a hell of a year.
But he's kind of a year.
You'd rather give up young assets than a draft pick that you don't know about?
I think that's
going to be in the lower end of the first round?
I think they've got kind of an abundance of guys in that same general category now. Anders Bjork, Danton Heinen, Trent Frederick, Ryan Donato, you know, these this young forward group that's kind of, you know, maturing.
Would you trade any, or is there anybody that you wouldn't trade from that list?
Jake DeBrusk.
So keep him for you and everybody
from,
else.
From yeah. Of that young group of forwards, yeah. I would, I mean, if you had a deal that would make sense, I'd trade Donato, I'd trade Frederick.
Even for a rental?
Are they enough?
Oh, yeah.
Is two of those guys yeah. enough to get well, you one of those good rentals?
And you may have to give up another draft pick right. that yeah, wouldn't yeah, be a yeah. first-round pick.
But you trade, and I think I probably would, too, at this point, especially the way that they're playing, and even doing it without Pasternak. Would you trade Ryan Donato for a rental, or as part of a deal for a rental? Because he's the one guy, I really liked him last year, and I know this year it hasn't been his year, but I just see, out of all the guys that could come back to bite you down the road, like 3 years, you're like, look at this guy, he's like a point-per-game guy, or he's a 30-goal guy. I feel like he's the guy that would bite you more than Heinen or Frederick or maybe even Jake DeBrusk.
But he may be the guy that you have to
maybe
give
you
up
have
if you
to,
want
right?
to
that's
get
another team
that
want.
Decent rental
yeah.
asset.
Yeah, no, that's true. Why do you think the Bruins, because you said they are, what, tied for the third best record in all of hockey?
Yeah, tied with San Jose after last night.
According to Bovada, they are eighth for their best chances to win the Cup. Tampa Bay is the heavy favorite, and then Calgary.
And should be.
Calgary, San Jose are tied for second.
Yep.
Then you have the Maple Leafs, the Winnipeg Jets, the Nashville Predators, the New York Islanders. Then the Boston Bruins.
The Islanders.
Islanders are ahead of them.
I would suggest perhaps Bovada hasn't caught up with what's going on.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe you're right. So, or you're saying we should bet on the Bruins right now.
Oh,
plus 1,300.
Oh, the,
is that what you're saying?
Let's
Rossi? Rossi, are we rolling that over?
Bet into the heater.
You still got your winnings or do you already spend those?
I still have them. I actually have them in a sock drawer.
Is that right? Well, take them out of the sock drawer and let's put them on the Bruins.
I got a fiver inside my wallet here. I'll jump in with you guys at 1,300.
Let's say we do it.
Dale?
No.
You
don't no.
Not that confident. No. Not that confident.
My money's already in the bank. Yeah,
We got to do this now because as soon as they make a deal for Panarin, all of a sudden the money's not going to be as good.
Once word finally gets down to Costa Rica how well the Bruins have been playing.
So do you guys agree they've got to make a move?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, I am. A couple of weeks ago when they weren't on this much of a run, I sort of convinced myself that they weren't going to beat Tampa, and I thought maybe even Toronto, but they're right there. I mean, they're in that mix. So 2 through 8 in the Eastern Conference is all going to be pretty similar. And as good as Tampa Bay is, there's a chance they could go down, and maybe even somebody else beats them. Maybe somebody else beats them.
Even if you think they're not going to beat Tampa, playing the way that you've played.
Yeah, make
how do you sit it out?
Yeah, you got to
do it. And you never know what happens to Tampa.
Right.
You never know if there's an injury somewhere.
Because I like the move last year, a first-round pick for Rick Nash. So you look at this year's team and the landscape of the league, it makes just as much sense to be aggressive this year.
What do you tell your fans if you say, yeah, you know, we're a good team.
Oh, the future's bright.
But that Tampa team, we can't beat them. So
well, and on top of it, too, you're talking about, you know, Chara and Krejci and Bergeron and Rask, and you don't want to, wait till next year with those guys, too? Like, you kind of have to go in.
And I also look at this thing as Greg correctly pointed out, in the NHL, eights do beat ones now and then. I mean, you do see upsets now and then. But if you feel you're in the handful of teams that are the handful best teams in the NHL, then you feel like you're there. You're in it.
This is not an eight trying to beat a one. This
you're already beating a one. Yeah,
you know, you are in this thing, and you've got to prove that you're in this thing. The other thing is I also think there is such a thing. Teams do it all the time. You have to make a trade just to show your team. I'm with you. You know what, fellas? You're doing a hell of a job, but you need a little help. We're here for you. We're going to help you out. It's almost, I don't want to say a cosmetic trade, because the Rick Nash trade was not a cosmetic trade. It was, you know, we're going for it.
That was a serious move.
We're in. Yeah. I'd like to see them make a deal even just for that. I sort of think
they don't
Danny
need to make a Stafford move.
No, they need
to make a Rick Nash move.
I think Danny Ainge regrets not making a move.
I don't know what he could have done, though. I think they were still waiting to sign. I'm surprised they didn't sign, because they got rid of Jabari Bird, which I don't know why he's on the roster for so long anyway. So they have an open roster spot. I think the only move that they were going to make is to bring in one of these guys that gets bought
out.
Yeah,
see, I think it's different in the NBA than the NHL. It's almost like a second trading deadline.
It's weird.
Where you don't have to trade anybody.
Bro,
you can go out and
get
a
good player.
Robin Lopez, yeah. Or Enos Kanter, or somebody of that ilk.
So that's why, and like, I think they also wanted to cover themselves, because say, just for chemistry's sake, you wanted to trade away Terry Rozier. Well, what if Kyrie Irving, who's been battling all these injuries anyway, goes down, and now you have no backup point guard?
And what if Kyrie says, no, I'm not coming back next
year? Or he's just leaving. Like, I think they needed to make sure they kept the depth just in case.
I understand completely if people didn't stay up late. I mean, they've now had three games in four nights with these late starts, and they're killers. And I don't blame anybody who doesn't stay up. You know, people have lives to live and jobs to go to and all that stuff. So I fear what happens for some folks is they wake up this morning and they go, 6-5 in overtime. Tuukka sucked. No, he didn't. In fact, in the overtime, right, he was unbelievable to even give them a chance to win. But you know the narrative around here.
Well, yeah. I mean,
he's now gone 13 games without a loss.
I said he's won a lot of his starts here recently. Yeah, that conversation lasted a month or so, right? Look at Halak playing well. Is it 50-50 or is it Halak's job? That's been over for a while.
And you can discount the L.A. and Anaheim wins if you want. They stink. I understand.
Count.
You don't discount the San Jose win.
No.
San Jose is great at home. One of the best home teams in the National Hockey League. After last night's loss,
can't be bad in a place called the Shark Tank.
You gotta dominate the Shark Tank.
After their loss last night, they're 19-5-5 at home.
Yeah.
So you go to San Jose, you beat the Sharks. You're now headed for Vegas tomorrow night in St. Louis. By the way, St. Louis is the hottest team in the league. All of a sudden, you play them on Saturday. Yeah, they can't lose now either. But come Monday, you're going to see different players here.
Right.
And you're going to see players off this roster leave. You're not going to see guys from Providence leave, which is what fans always want.
Yeah.
Let's give them the three guys from Providence and get Artemi Panarin.
Well, although this roster, because of all the injuries, we've seen
back
a lot of guys,
forth,
too.
Right.
So they've been up and down and everything else. But that's what they need. They really need a whole new third line. Like we were saying the other day, it's like third line center you asked for, but I'll take a whole new third line. You could use a top six forward.
Although technically that's now the fourth line. The third line now is
right.
Achari, Wagner, Corrali.
Based off of the minutes and everything. But yeah, so there's room for
improvement.
And
they're being used against the other team's top lines many nights.
Right. So that whatever that line is, they need to figure out. Defensively, though, it seems like surprising they might be in decent shape. They've just been so hurt all year.
They are the second stingiest team in the NHL. Only the Islanders give up fewer goals than the Bruins at this stage. Now, part of that is Tuukka's playing great. And earlier on in the season, you know, Yaroslav Halak was playing great. But defensively, they've suddenly become really tough, which probably surprises some folks, but that's the fact. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Joe's in Rhode Island. Hey, Joe.
Hey, Dale. Question for you. Obviously, Wayne Simmonds is a target. There's a bunch of targets.
He's on the list.
What effect does this expansion draft have as far as trading young assets?
It absolutely
because everybody.
It's a valid point. You've got an expansion draft that's still a year away, but you've got to think about it, and they do think about it, and how many guys you can protect, and which guys no move clauses I think are exempt, and it gets real complicated. But yeah,
what do you think of this kid Studnicka down the kid that was on Team USA? They say he has a great deal of upside.
I have heard people say that he's untouchable. Now, Don Sweeney doesn't say that. He doesn't say any of that stuff publicly, and I don't blame him. What I've heard around hockey is that the Bruins have basically said this kid, he is among the group. We'll deal some young talent here. We're willing to move some guys, but supposedly the two at that level that they will not trade, supposedly, are Vaakanainen, the defenseman, and Studnicka, the forward. Those are the two prospects that they think are on a rocket ship.
I forgot about the Seattle hockey team coming in a couple of years.
They're the only one coming in,
stupid.
Right?
Yes. It's going to get them to an even 32, and then for now they'll be done.
Forgot all about that. But yeah, I mean, that's something they have to consider. But even some of these young guys, it's not like they're under contract for a super long time, because when would the expansion draft be? 2021 or something like that?
Next summer. Summer of 20, right?
Summer. Oh, 2020.
Yeah, 2020.
Oh, never mind. Yeah. Okay.
So you've got, you know, a year. It's a little over a year away.
All right. Got it.
But you do have to think about this stuff, you know, going forward. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line 37937. It's Dale and Keith. Dickerson's in the house. Sports Radio W.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
UEEI.
Rocking the Midday with Dan Arnold.
What the bleep is wrong with you people?
And Rich Keefe.
I'm talking when I'm talking!
What you say, who you say, you. On WEEI.
If your squad out there want to win, and your squad want a hungry wide receiver who the best in the whole world, someone hit my phone. Tell them I ain't doing no unguarantees. I ain't even going to play myself no more for this NFL, you heard? I think I done everything. What left for me to do? Win the Super Bowl? Hey, it got to be the right team for that. Just know I'm still hungry. What y'all looking at is a man body. You heard? I'm in here going the distance. Hey, hey, you heard?
Was Antonio Brown.
Yeah, what a big player.
Hard on the treadmill. I think he had it up to about 3.7.
He's working out, working hard.
You know, he had a brisk pace going there.
Call me Mr. Big Chest.
Call me Mr. Big Chest.
I'm not going to call you that.
Well,
but
you could if you wanted to.
I could.
So today, Antonio Brown updated the world on his own Twitter account. He's got a picture of he and Mr. Rooney. Quote, had a great meeting with Mr. Rooney today. We discussed a lot of things. And we cleared the air on several issues. We both agreed that it is time to move on, but I'll always have appreciation and gratitude towards the Rooney family and the Steelers organization. Hashtag call God. Mm. Hashtag boom in.
What's the number?
I don't know.
For boom
God.
In.
For God.
No, but I'm more interested in boom in.
No, I'm not.
What does that mean?
About? Booming?
Booming.
Boom
in.
Just booming.
Oh, just booming.
Just booming.
Oh, it's booming, not booming.
Well, we
boom
don't. In. I have no
boom
idea.
In. Yeah. Boom in.
So, just to clear this up, a couple of sources out there, Ian Rappaport and Bert Breer, have both tweeted on this. Clarity on Antonio Brown. Sources say the Steelers agreed to work on the potential trade, but Brown and his agent, Drew Rosenhaus, do not have permission to speak to other teams. Mm.
You gotta love Drew Rosenhaus. Of course, it's Drew Rosenhaus. If you take a wild guess at who it was, yeah, it's Bob Sugar. Of course, that's his agent. You know what I'm not wild about is he has he dyed his mustache blonde. What's up
it's
with
a
that?
Good look.
That's a horrible look because he still has like his beard is like is the normal color, and then the mustache is like blonde. That might be the most outrageous thing we've heard yet about.
Is that
Antonio
the most
Brown.
Upsetting thing
that
to
is,
you
to me.
Out of everything that Antonio Brown?
No,
has done?
No. The most upsetting would be if he really did
calling himself Big Chest.
No, if he pushed his wife or his girlfriend down, that would be the most upsetting.
Call me Mr. Big Chest.
Yeah, all that stuff. That's fine.
So Bert Breer added to the information. He said after the initial meeting was just between Art Rooney and Antonio Brown. Initial meeting was just the two of them. With Antonio Brown's father, Eddie Brown, also in the room. After that,
that's odd.
After the initial meeting, agent Drew Rosenhaus and Steeler execs Kevin Colbert and Omar Khan joined in to work through what's ahead.
Can we stop with the professional athletes and their friggin' fathers? Can we just stop it, please? I understand the 19-year-old who just comes out of college. Can you stop with the 26-year-olds and 28-year-olds? You know when my father stopped speaking for me?
When was that?
About last year. I mean, when I was 18.
I
was like 18. Okay, you know, I don't need to hear from him. Why does Antonio Brown's father need to be in this meeting?
In the great words of Troy Brown... Dude, you 30. Antonio Brown is 30 years old.
Get you a ride.
He doesn't need his dad holding his hand there.
If dad is a certified agent or a lawyer, I get
Rosenhaus.
It. But
I'm assuming that's where Rosenhaus comes in, right?
He's got Rosenhaus there. How many teams are calling the Steelers right now trying to make a deal? I would still imagine a bunch. I know he's had...
But the way he's handled this, hasn't he hamstrung the Steelers to such a degree that they're going to get pennies on the dollar for this guy now?
Well, I think he's too talented for him to just get pennies because you would only get pennies if one team was interested. If one team said, man, you guys have to get rid of him, here's a fifth-round pick. But if there's two teams, and I think there's going to be more, but all if it takes is two teams to get in a little bidding war with each other, and then maybe you get maybe not every single thing you would normally get. Although, I mean, but let's face it, if they were going to just trade Antonio Brown, say he played the last game of the season, say he wasn't liking things on Twitter that said Ben Roethlisberger was a rapist, let's say all these things didn't happen, and they just out of the blue traded him, wouldn't you say, what the hell? Automatically, you would say, why are you trading Antonio Brown?
But if you're
something's up,
you're talking about multiple teams, and I understand multiple teams being interested, that drives up the price. But how high does that price get for a guy who quit on his team, a guy who has got some legal issues off the field, and they may grow bigger and we may find out more? If you're
that part of it is kind of a wild card.
It's a little cloudy right there. Yeah. So if you're San Francisco, you're, I don't know, Seattle, whoever else, aren't you a little hesitant about giving up, you know, a first round pick, a second round pick?
How about if you're the Oakland Raiders,
which is where a lot of people think he's going to end up?
Yeah, they have the fourth pick, which they won't trade for.
Not giving up,
but they have the 24th pick and the 27th pick. So you could walk away from the NFL draft with two first round picks, one of them in the top five, and Antonio Brown. I think I would give up a first round pick, especially if you're a team that has three of them.
Do you just automatically forget what he did to the Steelers at the end of the regular season? Do you just and teams do this all the time?
He won't do that
to us. You know, we get him in here. We get him in our system. He'll be on board.
Raiders system. You get him in Raiders system. Yeah, something like that would never happen.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you want to be able to talk to him, and we'll see what happens with what they were saying there about how Rosenhaus and Brown can't talk to him.
I wouldn't let him either if I'm the Steelers. You've already screwed me enough, Antonio. You don't get to go out and start pitching your own deals to teams here. We'll tell you where we've traded.
If his agent Don Yee, I probably allow it. Because it's Rosenhaus.
Because you trust them a little bit.
Yes, I don't want Rosenhaus anywhere near
this. But wouldn't you get more from the team if they felt more comfortable? They talked to him and they said, wow, this was an incident because of Tomlin and Roethlisberger. We're taking your side. Otherwise, you're just kind of...
you know that they're full of crap. You know that Rosenhaus is full of
crap. I'd rather talk to Antonio Brown. I wouldn't want to talk to Drew
Rosenhaus. I don't want to talk to either one of them.
But if he's going to be on your team, you don't want to talk to him?
See, what I think...
If you're going to trade
him
for something...
Because I think he's going to lie to me. Oh, you know what?
You don't want him then.
I trade for him because he's an immense talent. I probably need him, but I also go into it knowing he's probably not going to tell me everything truthfully.
I do think there's history of it across all sports where a guy can be a problem with one team, goes to another team. Not that he could play 5 years and keep his nose clean, although he's 30. I don't think he's going to play 5 years anyway. So can you get two or three all-pro seasons out of them? I think that's what you have to roll the dice on.
Play the theoretical game with me because this is not possible. We're just doing this for funs and grins and giggles here. The Steelers would never trade Antonio Brown to the Patriots.
It's like a non-starter.
So forget that part of it. That doesn't exist. If you were the Patriots, would you rather get Antonio Brown or would you rather get Odell Beckham Jr.?
OBJ. Ooh. It's not even a question.
Absolutely.
Not even
I agree
a question.
Completely.
Oh, boy.
I love Antonio Brown as the player, but he told me everything or based on what he did at the end of last year, told me everything I need to know about him as a player. He quit.
He doesn't give a damn about your team or about wins or losses. He cares about Antonio Brown's numbers, his catches. And by the way, I'll tell you if I'm going to show up to work or not.
Well, I think Odell Beckham probably cares about his catches probably more than everything
else.
He does,
but
most good receivers care more about their catches and touchdowns than they do the team winning.
I would be much more worried about Antonio Brown going AWOL as opposed to Odell Beckham with the Patriots.
I mean, he might be crying on the sideline and fighting the kicking net.
You want to kick as many kicking nets as you want? Go right ahead.
He may do that. I think
your hesitation leads me to believe you'd rather have Brown.
I like Brown. Beckham is 4 years younger, though, and I think that's a big part of it too. If you're talking about the idea of a guy playing beyond just 1 year, like if he's not just a straight up rental, they both are under contract for multiple seasons. I think Beckham has a better chance of being better longer, starting right now, than Antonio Brown does. But right now, Antonio Brown's a better player.
But knowing the Patriots,
but Beckham's at least in the ballpark. Like Beckham's not the fall off to like Brandon Cooks. Like Beckham, Brown, Julio Jones, DeAndre Hopkins. And maybe I'm missing one or two. That's sort of that's a top-end class.
OBJ is close enough to Antonio Brown where you say, you know what, I can deal with it. I don't want to deal with the headaches of Antonio Brown. OBJ is close enough to Antonio Brown without the headaches.
And I might be naive in this, but I think both of these guys respect Tom Brady enough that they'd be really good for him. That's just me. Maybe that's the homer in me.
Happened with Randy Moss.
I think so. And I think, look at Ben Roethlisberger and Eli Manning. Like, I understand those guys have won, but they don't come without their warts. And Eli Manning is not the player he once was. And Odell Beckham, Odell Beckham is so good down the field that Eli Manning not being able to get the ball to him makes him look even worse. And that's just falling apart. And then Roethlisberger, I think he has his issues as well. So I think both those guys would look at Tom Brady and respect him a lot more than their current guys.
Here's my Keefspiracy.
Let's hear it.
The Pittsburgh Steelers, who are probably more than, despite the meeting with Art Rooney today, they're probably more than a little pissed off at Antonio Brown right now and how he's blown this thing up and how he's acted. They go and make a deal with the New York Giants.
Brown for Beckham?
For Odell Beckham Jr. and a draft pick or two. And then they tell Antonio Brown, let's see how your numbers are with Eli Manning flinging you the football for a year.
Not going to probably love that. Although, I think he'd be good with anybody. Like, there are some receivers that really are reliant on the quarterback. Well, they're all reliant on the quarterback. But I'm saying some receivers can make a quarterback. Right. Like, Mike Evans can make Jameis Winston look halfway decent at times. Terrell Owens did it for a while before he got a good quarterback. Like, he took Jeff Garcia to the Pro Bowl, for God's sakes, because he made him look good. I think Beckham and Brown are in that category, too. Now, if they had Brady here, who knows what their numbers would be? I think either one would be through the roof. I would take both of them. I think Antonio Brown's the better player right now, but Beckham has the brighter future because he's a lot younger.
Who cares about the future?
For one season?
To me,
yeah.
If you got either one of these guys, you're talking 2 years max. Well, the way this Patriot organization is, you're not keeping them past 2 years.
Which might line up with
Brady. Which is all that matters anyway, because right. That's how long your quarterback's yeah, exactly. Probably going to yeah. Be here.
So I'd take them.
My guess is, it's a guess. It's a stupid guess here. If you gave Brady the choice, I think he'd pick Beckham.
Yeah, I wonder how well he knows either one of these guys. I've no
he
idea.
He and Beckham seem to have this infatuation with each other.
Yeah, a couple years ago, they did the jersey swap, yep. And the Patriots were upset because they're like, we don't really
well,
do
they
jersey
had to
swaps.
Do it. Didn't they have to go underneath the stands really or weird. Something to do
but,
it?
Yeah,
but no. I think they've done the Instagram love in the past, too.
Yeah, they
not
did
just,
it recently.
Not just recently.
Oh, yeah, right. No,
I think they've done it in the past as well. So there's something there. What would you give up?
I'd give up a first-round pick for either one of them. They're picking 32 overall.
Oh, yeah.
I would
hell,
go 30.
Yes.
Boom, right? No problem.
Now, again, Pittsburgh would never trade him here.
No, that's what I'm talking about.
It's
right
a
now.
Moving point.
The Giants would do it, it sounds like, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, we heard the Chris Sims report, but Jay Glazer saying they want to trade him, and are there going to be a lot of offers better than the number 30? You know, you probably have to throw in something else, like a first and a third or a first and a fourth or whatever, but I would absolutely do it.
And if you believe, I'm going to leave Chris Sims out because I don't believe him.
Yeah.
But if you believe Jay Glazer... Man, they were hot on the idea of acquiring him last offseason.
Mm-hmm.
And that sort of flies in the face of what we think Belichick normally does, but it would indicate that he thinks this guy's pretty good too, right?
Yeah. I mean, I would think that he would think both of these guys are pretty damn good. We could probably pull up audio of him talking about both of these guys at times, but that would also, not only would you have to give up a lot for him, but then it comes back to the money. Right, like they don't normally pay that position that kind of money. One of the reasons why they traded Brandon Cooks a year before he would have hit free agency and cashed in. He ended up doing it that right after the trade with the Rams. But Beckham's making even more than that. He's a better player.
But you're only talking about making that commitment for a couple of years.
Well, then what do you do with him? Cut him?
Yeah,
because he signed a 5-year deal before last season. So I would have. So he's got 4 years left, what I think, if you trade for him right now.
To me, if
and
I'm,
they almost can't trade him until after June 1st anyway.
Because they take too much of a cap hit. Too much dead money.
Way too much money. Yeah. The Antonio Brown deal would have to be a post-June 1st thing, no matter what.
So the Patriots will get Odell Beckham in June. The Celtics will get Anthony Davis in July. So we got a lot to talk about in the next
summer.
Few months.
That's
a
poor Red Sox. Poor Red Sox. We're not even going to talk about the Red Sox.
They'll win 120 games right. And no one will know.
We're talking about Odell Beckham. Love it.
And all the people... Well, we're going to hear this. We're going to hear this for the next 4 or 5 months, and we're already starting to hear it now. They don't need Odell Beckham Jr. They don't need this kind of wide receiver. They've won
without this kind of, which
I understand. But you know what? I like watching football for two reasons. I like seeing my team win.
Sure.
And I enjoy fun football.
Fun football.
Okay.
Odell
Beckham Jr. is fun.
It'd be a lot of fun to have Odell Beckham.
I said it before.
Yes.
I'm done.
Right.
I'm done with the Chris Hogans and the Philip Dorsetts of the world. How you could not want to watch Odell Beckham Jr. run up and down the football field with Tom Brady throwing him the football. Are you insane?
And
how could you not want to watch that?
And why make it harder on Brady if you don't have to? Not that Brady can't overcome anything. We've seen it. We've seen him do it.
At some point, he's going like too rich, though. So that's my point before. You know what? Tom Brady is less likely to make... the Philip Dorsett's a better wide receiver. He's less likely to make him better now than 5 years ago.
Yeah, maybe.
More reason to go out and get legit
right. These
stud
guys are available.
Receivers.
There's two of these guys potentially. Well, really one available. Yeah. Pull the trigger.
Texter put it perfectly. OBJ is a headache. Antonio Brown is a migraine.
He might be.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. Oh, I forgot it's Tuesday. That means Kiefer Madness.
Oh, you better believe it.
At noon 30.
Yeah, we got a good one.
Oh, I got to participate in this, right? Oh, no, it's the Keith's Keys that
Keith's
I don't present.
Keys, don't you can just you can leave.
Is it a philosophical protest on your part?
When you were almost dead a week ago.
Maybe overstated it a little, but yes.
I was told no uncertain terms that the group was disappointed in my efforts during Keith's Keys. Hmm. Yeah,
he no sells the keys.
At all.
Oh, see, that's just wrong.
It's not good.
It's
at
like
all.
Sid Vicious no selling. Right. You know what I mean? You just can't do it that way. 617-779-7937. It's Dale and Keith with Dickerson Sports Radio WE.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
EI.
Back to...
What? What's the name of the show? Where's Dale?
Dale and Keith.
You do know that it's not the Rich Keith Show
on WEEI.
As much as I do like Odell personally, and as much as I do agree with your premise that his heart is good, mm-hmm. he is still one of the all-time over-emotional divas. Mm-hmm. He can go off like that, and when he goes over the edge, he's gone over the edge. He's theatrical, he's melodramatic, he's throwing fits, he's tantrums.
What up?
It's hard to win with that, and trust me, none of that would play in New England. The culture of stability, of discipline, of work ethic would be just what the doctor ordered for that young man.
But would he survive to tell the tale? You know, the narrative here for some folks is, well, you know, the Patriots had that guy, and they didn't win with him. As if somehow it was Randy Moss's fault that they didn't win the Super Bowl that would have completed the 19-0 season.
Pretty good 07 season, yeah, Randy Moss.
Pretty good, yeah. The NFL record for touchdown catches. Yeah. And
didn't exactly ruin them in the Super Bowl either.
No, I wouldn't put that on Randy Moss.
But that's
Moss.
The narrative. You know, see, they had one of those before, and you see what happened. They had to get rid of them. It did end badly, by the way. And it does always seem to end badly.
It was
for those
ugly.
Guys. Yeah. For those diva wide receivers. Sorry, but isn't that what they are?
Yeah. And
it always ends badly.
And that's why I look at Odell Beckham Jr. as a two-year rental kind of thing. If you get two good, solid years out of him like you did
Randy Moss. Actually
Randy Moss.
Three.
Two and a half.
Well, no, it was
two
the fourth year that he got.
Was it the fourth year?
Well, because he had 1 year with Castle, which was nobody's fault, and he actually was fine. He had double-digit touchdowns, 1,000 yards with Matt Castle. Then he led the league in touchdowns in 09. That wasn't here. All of a sudden, he's got the weight of the world on his shoulders or whatever, and the weight of the earth. And he got traded away after four games, but he played three seasons. And I think, if anything, now we're looking at it and saying Brady plays one, two, or three more seasons. So if you get a receiver that maybe if the shelf life isn't there, could it line up perfectly with the end of Brady's career? I think it could.
Isn't this, and Greg made this point earlier, and I agree with him, we do this every year. I mean, literally every year we talk about the lack of weapons for Brady. Well, at least every year since Moss left.
They got to
get Tom Brady. I mean, they got to make it easier for him. And then whatever flotsam and jets and Bill Belichick hands.
But that's not even true, though, Dale.
We were right during the offseason.
So 2 years ago, they traded a first-round pick for Brandon Cooks. Brandon Cooks was an established 1,000-plus yard receiver.
And then they let him go away.
No, but you were saying we had the same conversation every year. We clearly didn't. The talk that year was they loaded up and are they going to go 16-0
again? We talked about it before they went and got Brandon Cooks.
But they still had Cooks. Right. And then also, it's a little bit different when Rob Gronkowski is the best tight end in football. He's not anymore. And great, he's a great blocker. Thank you. We can save the calls. He's a great blocker. But as far as a pass catching target, multiple tight ends have moved past him, and so that is a little bit different. They've had good receiving cores. They've had guys that can get it done, especially when it's led by Rob Gronkowski. This year was different going in, but I think
Belichick agreed with us.
They got Josh Gordon
right. They went out. They had to go out and get Josh Flippin Gordon in the middle of the season, or early part of the season, because they knew they didn't have the wide receiver core that they needed. So we were right.
Yeah. Do you think they count on him?
Who's that, Josh Gordon? They better not.
Having a chance to come back.
No, I don't think so.
You can't count, but I think probably in the back of their heads.
He's on the list somewhere.
Yes, it's an option.
You know, like they're leaving that open.
Why the hell
but
not?
I think he would, and I love him as much as anybody, but he would just have to be a best case scenario. He helps us a little bit. Like anything we get out of him is an added bonus.
You know what he is now, and to me, even if he is
the secret weapon.
Even if he's clean,
yeah.
I think he proved during his limited time here he's not that number one guy. He's not the 2000 whatever it was 11 he's Josh Gordon.
Amazing.
He's a real nice number three.
Yeah, maybe. And then you know, in this offense, it looked like if he was there, he was fitting in from weeks three or whatever it was four through 15, he led the team in receiving yards. So he was useful.
I also just don't think that Bill Belichick believes in tying up that portion of the salary cap on that position. He just doesn't. I mean, when they went out and got Josh Gordon, they didn't have to pay him a crap ton of money.
How much did they tie in with Randy Moss? I don't remember.
Yeah,
well,
Randy Moss, when they brought him in initially, not that much, but then
when
they re-signed him.
Yeah, I think he made a decent amount of money, but he's also one of the greatest receivers of all time, and I wonder how he views some of these other guys. But yeah, they've definitely gone away from it, but I think you just have to look at, all right, where is Brady going to be throwing the ball next year? And as we stand here in February, I mean, it's obviously very early, but there's not a lot of options, right? It's Edelman and White. That's what it looks like right now.
You brought up the point, though. They won the Super Bowl not because of their passing offense.
They scored 13 points. Right.
They won it because of their defense.
A year before, we said.
Frankly, they had almost become more of a running team. Belichick always goes where the rest of the league isn't.
Yeah.
You know, and the rest of the league has become pass happy, so he said, fine, then we'll run the ball.
And so
we'll have seven defensive backs out there. We'll run against them. And he did successfully. It's almost like he's shifting again.
Well, they did, you know, and they'll do that again next year. I mean, they got the same guys running backs back, and they obviously like the value that they have there. But you got to give Brady somebody. And I understand that we talked about that a lot this offseason because they traded away Brandon Cooks and they didn't really replace him. And we're wondering what the hell is going on. And is it going to be another year of Jordan Matthews, Eric Decker, and all these guys coming into camp and then all getting cut? Or do you see that one of the best receivers in the NFL is available? Just because you've won without a top five receiver doesn't mean you're never allowed to have one. Doesn't mean you can't go and acquire one.
Doesn't mean you don't need one.
Right. Why not?
And I don't trust Belichick to draft one.
He's not going to draft a good receiver. That's clear. You know, you can't be good at everything.
I don't know. He got one. Well, of course, he drafted him as a quarterback, but he turned out to be a good receiver.
He did. No, I mean, I guess he hit on some early on. Like, Deion Branch was obviously good, but since then, it's been
the best he's done lately is Malcolm Mitchell, and he was hurt.
Right. Exactly. And then he had to get rid of it, that was it. He was hurt, and it didn't really work out. But that's a position. And then even then, would you expect a rookie to show up? And even if he was a good rookie, where is he going to be on this
team?
Where's
the trust factor with Brady and how quickly does something like that develop?
Yeah, I would much rather trade that pick. They'll probably trade it anyway, but they're probably just going to trade it down for more picks. But I would trade it for – and that's the other thing is their success in the drafts have not been super strong, not just at receiver. Right. So if you're going to tell me you're going to get an established player that can help this team – go back to the Super Bowl again, and you're going to give up a pick for it? Absolutely.
And Dale, to build on kind of what you said, or go against what you said, they don't spend that kind of money on wide receivers.
They don't use up that portion of the salary cap on a wide receiver.
Right. Go back 2 years ago. How shocked were all of us when they signed Stephon Gilmore to the contract that they did years ago?
Yeah.
Right. So who's to say that they're not going to do the same thing?
They do look at a pass-happy NFL. That position's worth a lot of money to me. I'm putting myself in Bill Belichick's shoes.
Yeah.
I need that now because everybody's throwing the ball all over the place. I'll find a way to get down the field, especially with Brady as my quarterback. I'll get down the field and score points. I got to make sure I stop the other team, so I'll pay Gilmore.
But they made a Buffalo Bill the highest paid defensive player in the history of the
franchise.
And
we all mocked him for even getting him.
Oh, my God, it was a slap in the face to Malcolm Butler.
Really good.
But no, I mean, that move worked out, sure.
Better than Butler.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.